Reading this evening from Canto 1, Chapter 11, Texts 20, 21, 22, and 23. 20 through 23. Okay. The subject matter of Chapter 11 is Krishna's return to Dwarka. Krishna had been away. Actually, several times he had left. One time that he left Dwarka earlier was when he received news that the Pandavas were killed. They died in the house of Lak. Of course, they hadn't died in the house of Lak, and Krishna's omniscient, so Krishna knew. But on the pretext of attending the funeral of the Pandavas, Krishna and Balaram left. Specifically read in this chapter, Krishna even took some of his sons with him. One of the sons that attended, just following that, was the Swayamvar of Draupadi. Because while they were in Hastinapur, the Pandavas were moving about disguised as brahmanas, just so the Kauravas wouldn't know that they were still alive. If they thought they were dead, they thought, it's over. We're in control of the kingdom. They did the funeral. Pandavas are dead. Then the Swayamvar of Draupadi, a contest was designed that only Arjuna and possibly Karna. Karna was ruled out. So Krishna and Balaram were there at that Swayamvar, right? As were the Pandavas and some of the sons of. So Krishna took some of his sons with him. So he was gone from Dwarka, and then he returned to Dwarka. So from time to time, different situations required Krishna to attend. He's part of that same family. And so the family matter of ruling the kingdom, Krishna also came. And that was a long time, sometime between a half a year and a year, Krishna was gone. So the residents of Dwarka were very anxious because they're pure devotees. We know from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's description that for a pure devotee, the absence of the personality of Godhead one moment seems like 12 years or more. Yugayatam nimeshena chakshusha pravasayatam shunya. The world seems vacant. It was months. And they were like dead in Krishna's absence. But then they heard, because messengers came ahead and they delivered the news. Krishna is now coming. But then Yudhisthira persuaded Krishna to stay. We stayed 3 months more. And 3 months more is a lot of moments. Felt like lifetimes. Krishna's gone. Then more messengers came. Krishna's now coming. Of course, they don't know. But they got the message the previous time, Krishna's coming. So there's some hope. But they don't know when, and they're very expectant. And Krishna's coming with armies, divisions of soldiers, Akshohini divisions of soldiers sent by Yudhisthira. Not that Krishna needs one infantryman. Krishna doesn't need anything. But it's just part of the respect that the now King Yudhisthira wants to show to Krishna. So divisions of soldiers went. And as Krishna was on the outside of the city to give personal notice, he blew on his conch shell. And when people heard the sound of Krishna's conch shell, they came running. It says it several times. Whatever they were in the midst of, if they were dining, if they were bathing, I guess they put conch shell or something, and they went running. If they were sleeping, if they were with, didn't matter. Their life was Krishna, so they ran. And some was their service to decorate, so they couldn't run. They had to go and decorate. They made the city, the streets, and the marketplaces, and the doors of every home was festive, and there wasn't an exception. Every single person in Dwarka was engaged in going to receive Krishna. And this morning we read the immediate family members. We went by name. The king. Who was the king? Krishna wasn't the king. Krishna was the prince, and he was serving under the king. Who's the king? When Krishna killed Kamsa, who was installed as the king? Ugrasena. The Ugrasena, the king, came to be Krishna. His father, not Nanda Maharaj, because he stayed in Vrindavan, but Vasudeva, came to greet Krishna. Balaram. Because Balaram wasn't involved in the Kurukshetra battle. He had gone on pilgrimage, and by now he's back in Dwarka. So he also came to greet Krishna and Krishna's sons. And some of their names are mentioned. Pradyumna, the first son of Krishna and Rukmini, and a whole chapter of the Bhagavatam is there describing his life in the 10th canto. And his younger brother, Charudeshna. And Samba. Samba was the... Because there's 10 sons of each queen. So there's the older brother. The older brother is like the Yudhisthira that the older brother said. So he's very important. The oldest brother of Jambavati, his name was Samba. Whole chapter in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam about Samba and Samba's marriage. Who was Samba married to? You will never guess this one, so I'll tell you. The daughter of Duryodhana. Yes. Very, very intriguing chapter. The incident with Balaram with his plow pulling the whole city of Hastinapur towards the sacred river. You've seen that picture, painting, how powerful is Balaram's plow. It's centered around Samba's marriage to Lakshmana, the daughter of Duryodhan. So it was a swayamvar ceremony and Samba went. And Samba won the hand of Lakshmana and he was taking her home. And because of Duryodhana's inimical attitude towards the Pandavas, and therefore Krishna, or maybe the other way, Krishna, therefore the Pandavas, but the Pandavas and therefore Krishna, it was an insult. And so there was a big fight. And 5 of his chief generals ganged up on him, just like has happened to Abhimanyu. They ganged up on him. and fighting him from all directions at the same time, which is, in fighting, it's illegal. But they did it. They captured him. They tied him up like a common person you tie up, as happened to Drupad. Tied him up, and they put him in prison. The king, Ugrasena, heard. The son of Krishna, Samba, is imprisoned by Duryodhan. Gather the entire Yadu army, all the divisions of all of our soldiers and all the elements and all the charioteers and all the infantry, and we'll go and smash this puny Duryodhan. Balaram said, wait. I have this relationship with Duryodhan. I think I can bring a peaceful settlement. So Balaram's request prevailed. They still sent their divisions of soldiers, but they stopped at some distance, and Balaram went ahead with just some ministers of the Yadus and stopped and made camp outside of the royal palace. And one of the ministers was sent to tell the Duryodhan and company, Balaram has come to see you. Would you like to receive him? Oh, yes, I would like to receive him. They sent their ministers to receive. Please come. Please tell us, what is the reason for your visit? Balaram said, yes, I'll tell you the reason. I've come to have you release Sangha from prison, and that he should marry Lakshmana, as he won her hand in the Swayamvar ceremony. So the ministers reported this back to Duryodhana and the other royal family members, and they didn't like that proposal at all. So they sent that message back to Balaram. No deal. No release of Sambha. No marriage of Lakshmana. This is an insult.
Balaram became very angry.
And just single-handedly, with his vow, he determined, very well, I'll destroy the whole Kaurava kingdom. Their palace. Their palace will disappear. I'll drag their palace and pull it and drop it in the river. And as the whole city started to move, I realized, uh-oh. I think we better send our ministers and tell Balaram, okay, we'll release Sambha, here's Lakshmana, here's so many gifts and presentations, and please, sorry, you made a mistake. So Balaram stopped, and Sambha was released. Sambha married Lakshmana, the daughter of Duryodhan. And other things Sambha is known for, the lump of iron. The lump of iron. Whole chapter in the Bhagavatam dedicated to the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. It was Sambha who was dressed in a sari with his head covered in his abdomen with a lump of iron, and in a high voice was asked, along with some other small boys, the sages, rishis, and brahmanas, can you tell the future? Can you tell us whether this will be a boy or a girl? Can you tell the future of this child? And they knew that they were being made fun of. They said, yes, we will tell you the future of that child. That child will be the destruction of the Yadu dynasty for offending the Brahmanas. Your royal family is now cursed. The whole family will be destroyed by that child that you have yet to give birth to. So they realize they made a big mistake. They don't offend the Brahmins. So they went quickly to Ugrasena and told him what happened. Ugrasena called his ministers, consulted, and decision was made, make the lump of iron disappear. Grind it and grind it and grind it down and down till it's just powder. And take that powder and go and throw it in the ocean. So it was powdered and was thrown in the ocean, and the powder washed up at the shore, Prabhas Kshetra, and in that area there were some reeds growing, and the reeds became strong like iron from the iron powder, the iron filings. And it's in that place that the called Yadus, under Krishna's, all of this is Lila, under Krishna's direction, they had a party, a festival. And in that festival, they somehow took some rice wine, and they took too much rice wine and became intoxicated, and they started sporting, and in their sporting they used these reeds that were like iron rods. And the sporting then became fighting, and the fighting became destruction. Destruction, they self-destroyed the entire Yadu dynasty. All by Krishna's arrangement to take them back to their positions, because no one else could destroy them. And then, in addition to the members of the royal family, the different categories of personalities were mentioned. And what they were carrying brahmanas bearing flowers and chanting hymns. And in front of them were all the royal elephants and musical instruments, conch shells and bugles, and brahmanas chanting Vedic mantras, and this whole wave of offering of respect to create an atmosphere of auspiciousness and fill the hearts of everyone with the great spectacular event that was taking place, appropriate for the person. Prabhupada describes it in Vedic culture. To this day, it's done to receive someone. And the standard items of good fortune or auspiciousness are standard, mentioned correctly in the verses here. And then the enigmatic verse about the prostitutes of Dwarka, they also came, hundreds of them, well-known prostitutes in palanquins and other vehicles. And Prabhupada describes how that actually was existing in Dwarka, and at the same time they were great devotees. So the consideration of the greatness of the devotee is not the alertedness or high position of occupation or so forth. They're degree of devotion to the Lord, and as he writes, that somehow or another, by quirk of fate, by tricks of chance, one may be obliged to adopt a profession which is not very adorable in society, but that does not hamper one in executing devotional service to the Lord. Then text 20, which is our starting point. Translation reads, expert dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, and learned speakers all gave their respective contributions, being inspired by the superhuman pastimes of the Lord, and thus they proceeded on and on. So Prabhupada identifies in this part of the reception, there's persons from the groups of Shudras and persons from the groups of Brahmanas. their grouping was according to the occupation and the qualities of that occupation. So, in our modern society, persons that are film stars and musicians, they're like big heroes. You want to sell a product, you get one of those people to sell it for you. Or in New York, we have every year the India Independence Day Parade. So if they want to have guaranteed attendance, they just bring some Bollywood stars and say that they're going to be in the parade and people come just to see the Bollywood star. And they get up on the stage after the parade, and when they're finished on the stage, it's over. Everybody goes home. It's not about celebrating the independence of India, it's about seeing the Bollywood star. Or a cricket player. Ooh. And so on. So those persons in Vedic culture are Shudras. So today's Shudra is the celebrity. And so musicians, dancers, singers, and drama, it's all Shudra occupation. But in Vedic culture, they were very, very valuable. And then the Brahmanas' occupations that are listed here were the historians. They knew the Puranas, the genealogists. What's genealogy? It's learning somebody's family tree. So they would know it, and they would recite it, and describe the glories of the persons in that family tree. And then they could go into the future also, and describe at least the newborn children. They were the same persons that were skilled in astrology. It's a Brahmana's task because it's very subtle. It's not like they have computer programs now that aren't subtle. It's just whoever, you know, makes the program. But it's a subtle art of understanding subtle influences and how the combination of those subtle influences, how they play out. It actually requires being in touch with Super Soul, being inspired by Super Soul in a subtle way. One of our devotees, we'll mention his name, one of our devotees who's a very advanced devotee, he has learned something about astrology. And there was a doctor that I was seeing, some doctors that were from South America, and they had learned some herbal and some quasi-Ayurvedic systems of medicine through some spiritual teachings. They were good with herbal medicine. So I invited, I'll say his name, Praladananda Swami, who is a minister of health and is also the sannyas minister. So he speaks Spanish, and they were from South America, and they had heard about him. So they invited him to come, and they wanted to examine his skill. So they gave him some birth information on someone and asked him, could he do the horoscope? And he did it very quickly, and he did it so accurately. They were amazed, and they said, you know, we've never seen anybody that can do like this. And he knew how to calculate both by Ayurvedic system, where it's geocentric, and by the other system, which is heliocentric. And their system that they knew was tuplocentric. It's a calculation of, you know, according to topography. Topography is elevation. So where you are on the planet and point of elevation. I don't know how that works, but he explained it, and right away he could capture the essence in described how that fits in with the geocentric, heliocentric, and then did it in two different ways and came out, you know, an amazing calculation. He said, how can you read, you know, this plus that, and how it the influences that? And his response was, to do this properly, there has to be some contact with Supersoul. Supersoul inspires. It's not, there's a science to it, there's also a spiritual art. It's not just comes from practice and memorization of things. This means that. It's a subtle inspiration. Anyway, so the brahmanas were the ones skilled to do that, and because there aren't such qualified brahmanas, it's hard to find somebody that really knows their stuff with casting horoscopes. Even Prabhupada would sometimes ask the devotees, find an astrologer and see what the astrologer says. Towards the end, especially in relation to his health. And they would call somebody who was supposed to be super expert, and they would do their horoscope, and Prabhupada would dismiss it. Said, oh, what do those people know? They're not qualified. He would do. Perhaps he was just teaching us a lesson, we don't depend upon these things. Whatever was going on, he would sometimes call, but he never, okay, now I should do this, or you know, now I'm going to guide my life like that because the astrologer said so. Never did that. I'm saying that deliberately because there are some persons, there are some devotees that live out their life because their astrologer said so. You should do this. You shouldn't do that. Because the astrologer said so. I mean, even there's a situation now, there's a devotee who needs some very serious medical attention. The astrologer said, don't have any serious medical remedy until 2011. Meanwhile, they could die. It's a very serious condition. But the astrologer said, who's the what's the following of that astrologer? Anyway, some persons place a lot of faith in that. Prabhupada didn't. He didn't advise us by his actions and by his words. There's a science to it. There is something. It's not zero. There is something to palmistry and astrology. But we don't live our life according to those things, even if you can find somebody that's good. Caution. Prabhupada said, his answer to Prabhupada, is it okay to consult an astrologer? And Prabhupada said, If it's going to rain, you might take an umbrella. That was his answer. He said it several times. So it's like, you know, you ask the weatherman, is it going to rain today or is it going to be sunny? Like, and they say, oh, it's going to be rainy. So you might take an umbrella. You don't stop your activity. You do your activity. You may take some precaution because the forecast is it might rain today. So you carry an umbrella. Maybe. Maybe you don't. But you go about your activity for sure. So don't change the course of your activity based upon some advice like that. Or another classic is, by palmistry, you can tell someone's fate that they attend the kirtan and clap in the kirtan and the lines of their hand change. Destiny changes because of devotion. And pure devotion is you don't care about whether destiny changes or not. Let it come. Whatever it's going to be. But Krishna still changes the sequence of events because you're now in the internal potency, not the external potency. A different predominating force is ruling. in the life of the devotee, the internal potency of the Lord. And so events change. Events that should be by karma something change. And whether it's, you know, for better or for worse, it's for better. Whatever it is, for better. Because it's to draw one closer to Krishna. That's for better, whatever it is. The modern popular guru speakers in the West, many of them, some of them are even our business gurus, and some of them are, yes, in the name of Vedic, think they're traveling around and doing things. Very popular. And even this, you know, the spiritual group, so-called spiritual gurus, their message does not have to do with dependence upon the personality of Godhead. Their message has to do with, you know, you can do anything. The power of the mind. Do this meditation and you get the power of the mind, and you get the power of the mind, you can do anything. There's no obstacle of misfortune that can prevent you from attaining anything you want. People want to attain anything they want. They like that message. It's not a message of devotion. Devotees don't become influenced by that message. So, they came to receive Krishna. The dramatists, the singers, the musicians, the reciters of history, and the genealogists and the public speakers. Prabhupada's comment here is that the Puranas are composed like that. They're not in chronological order because they're not, they're deliberately, they're by, it's to raise the consciousness of the audience. That's the interest. It's factual history, but it's not chronological. There's no, they don't, it's not, the author of Vyasa did not hold himself to that criterion. Rather, it was the effect he held himself to elevate the consciousness. So in persons that are materialists, they read things that are not chronological, and they go, what's, you know, what's this? And they dismiss it. But they don't understand the thread that's within the message. But in Vedic culture, when there was less faithlessness and less unbridled materialism, it was the means, it was a service to the whole society to elevate the consciousness even of illiterate people, who would literally be entertained. Their entertainment was not movies and rock and roll and, you know, Bollywood dance. It was dance and music and drama, but all to inspire devotion to God. And the activities of the Lord, and the activities of the devotees of the Lord, and descendants of the devotees of the Lord, and it was all in relation to the Lord. It all inspired. The net result was awakening of finer sentiments and knowledge, even for people who couldn't read. They could hear, they could understand the language, and so through that language they were taught the Bhagavatam, through drama, through music, through dance. Not here, but elsewhere, Prabhupada commented, when I was a small boy, whenever there was a public event, there was some stage, and on the stage there was always some drama or some portrayal of the pastime of the Lord. And today, you know, they have other kinds of things. They call it action. But action just means violence and 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 violence. Action, drama. Because people are so dull is something that for horror or romance. You know, it's violence or sex or crime. So what does that do to society? It puts the ideas of violence and sex and crime undermined. And there's so much violence and sex and crime, it's out of control. Oh, let's make some more laws. Spend more taxpayers' money. We have to get insurance now for all the violence. It's crazy. Anyway, so Vedic time, wasn't like that. It was for the spiritual enlightenment of the common man. Prabhupada comments, it's now, you go to a sacred place, and there are genealogists that know the whole family tree of the great personalities who were there. And though for a small donation, they'll gladly recite. So, Prabhupada said this. It's become a business now. It's the value of what it was. Kali Yuga has degraded things, but the purpose of these things was it was a service to the Lord, to glorify the Lord and invoke for all classes of people the sense of awe and glory and veneration and auspiciousness by their skill, by their art, by their craft. And then Krishna, in turn, reciprocated. He approached them and offered due honor and respect to each and every one of them. Just as it behooves, yatha vidhi. So Prabhupada spends the purport discussing this term. Yatha vidhi. What does vidhi mean? Vidhi? What does vidhi mean? We were performing vidhi sadhana bhakti, right? Or vidhi sadhana bhakti. What does vidhi mean?
Regulation.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm panicking. Vidhi means rules and regulations. We follow the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti. Vidhi, it's what you should do. The do's and the don'ts. Just like in Nectar Devotion, there's a section of injunctions and prohibitions. Those are vidhis, the do's and the don'ts. So, yatha vidhi, just as appropriate. Yatha, according to circumstance, there's vidhi. So, Krishna would observe yatha vidhi, just as it behooves. So, there were same as when he left. Now entering, when he left, each of the persons that approached Krishna when he was leaving Hastinapur was yathavidhi, just as it behooves the individual. According to their social nuanced position, Krishna would pay his obeisances or embrace as a friend or receive the obeisances of someone or the queens and the royal family was one thing, ladies on the rooftops was another thing. Just according to their, so, there's the word yata. Yayata mam prapadyante. Tangs tataiva prajamiham. As each of them surrenders unto me, prapadyante. Tangs tataiva prajamiham. Yata tata. Yata tata, the two go together, as this so that. So, yata vidhi. Now, it's significant that he reciprocated according to the social position of everyone, but everyone's a pure devotee. And for the pure devotee, it means that for them, whatever their position, Krishna is everything. That's what a devotee, that's what the life of a devotee is. From Krishna's side, just as it behooves, means both as appropriate for the position of the devotee, that's like we're trying to be devotees, so as is appropriate for our position, but also commensurate with our love and purity of devotion. Krishna reciprocates with us. That's how the process of devotional service works. Krishna is not looking at, you know, what your position is. You know, I'm the pujari and so I'm important. Or something like that. I just clean the floor so I'm unimportant. Krishna doesn't look like that. Krishna looks at the love and devotion. And the comment, it's as attentive as the devotee is to Krishna, and for the devotee, the pure devotee, Krishna is everything. So Krishna reciprocated with each and every one. Ugrasena, the king, his father, Vasudev, his brother, Balaram, his sons, and down to the prostitutes. Now, he wasn't the same reciprocation in external affair, but their devotion to Krishna was accepted by him with each. So here's 22. The Almighty Lord greeted everyone present by bowing his head, or exchanging greetings, or embracing, shaking hands, looking and smiling, giving assurances, awarding benedictions, as appropriate, yathavidhi. Like in the second canto, in the ninth chapter, there's a description where Lord Brahma, before the creation of the universe, when he was engaged in his trance of meditation, he after 1,000 celestial years of his austerity, his tapa, the whole spiritual world was manifested before him. He saw the Lord. And to see the Lord means you see the whole spiritual world, because the Lord isn't in some abstract place, like in the sky and a cloud and shining or something. He's in his abode. So he came before the Lord. Seated around the Lord were all of these eternal associates of the Lord, and the personified Vedas were singing the personified Vedic mantras, and each of the energies of the Lord were personified and serving him. It was awesome. And when Brahma was approaching, the Lord stood and extended his hand and shook his hand. Yathavati, because that particular Brahma had the relationship with the Lord as friend. So he shook his hand. Now our Lord Brahma, that we find in Brahma Samhita, different than the second canto, chapter 9, we find that his relationship is that of a maidservant. He had a different rasa with the Lord. The Lord didn't shake hands with him. It's a different exchange. So, as appropriate for the feelings of love, the Lord reciprocates. All grades of people. Each and every one. As pure living entities, all are separated parts and parcels of the Lord, and thus no one is alien by his eternal relation. Such pure living entities are graded differently in terms of contamination of the modes of material nature, but the Lord is equally affectionate to all his parts and parcels, despite material gradation. That is, his reciprocation with those who aren't even paying attention to him as he comes. into this world to call them back to him. He doesn't wait. Now, the message is, surrender unto me, then the fullness of this relationship is available to you. But they're not asking, can you please come give us that message? He comes and gives that message. And similarly, he deputes his representatives, go deliver that message, will you? Well, what if the person doesn't want the message? Well, deliver the message. I want you to. Because he has compassion. Regardless of their condition. No one is rejected by the Lord from the kingdom of God, and it remains with the living being to accept this or not. Everyone's invited. Come on home. Come to the spiritual world. Regardless of your disqualification, qualification, and the in-between, doesn't matter. Please come. Everyone's invited. No, I don't want to go. I'm busy. After I take care of my this and that and that and this and that and that and this and that. When I'm older, I'll do it. You know that one, Mother. So this is all going on in the outskirts. The last verse is, he enters the city itself. And now he's not being greeted by those persons. He's entering the city with those persons, the elderly relatives and the invalid brahmanas with their wives who are unable to go out and greet him. Krishna receives those people. Those people receive Krishna. And the brahmanas were offering their prayers and Krishna's offering his benedictions. They're singing the glories of the Lord and Krishna's appreciating the brahmanas, go brahmana hitayacha. Here's the first sentence of the purport. The brahmanas in society were never attentive to banking money for future retired life.
Whoa.
And woe is it, those who have gone that path and everything is collapsing economically, and they're not just like unhappy and distressed. Their whole life has been wasted, and they're realizing. Well, they're not necessarily realizing what they should have been doing, but they're realizing all of that effort is now finished. What's better that they realize maybe they'll turn to spiritual life. If not suicide, maybe they'll turn to spiritual life. Because we have the skit, another little roll of drama, the wrong bank account. You heard that about that drama? It's one of our street plays. We would have Harinam Sankirtan in Manhattan. And we had a Vaikuntha players group. They would put on, in the temple, they would put on dramas of the kidnapping of Rukmini and, Bhagavatam stories. And one of the street plays was wrong bank account. There were three persons. And they would, because when we're on Broadway, people were very well dressed going into the Broadway theater shows. And our temple was right in the theater district, so we go with 100 devotees chanting. It was kirtan, cool. And everybody would stop there. And then we would stop, and then over there was the skit would start. Somebody, one of the devotees dressed in a nice suit, and he'd go to the teller and say, please put my money in. Give my account number. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, yes, Mr. Jones. Nice to see you again. And then, he comes out so many times, two or three times, and finally comes with gray hair, a gray hair wig. I'm almost ready to retire. Here's my last paycheck. Could you please put it in my account? Da, 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 da. And the teller says, it was a woman. dressed very nicely, saying, "What bank account? What bank number is that? Da, 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 da. Well, there's no such bank number. Well, wait, my whole life I've been putting my money into bank accounts, da, da, da. And you mean to say there's no such bank account? Oh, yeah, well, the bank changed hands, and now there's a new system, and we don't even have any money in bank accounts, da, 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 da. I'm sorry, Mr. Jones. You've all your life been putting your money in the wrong bank account." And he had a heart attack right on the street, you know.
You mean
all of that time? He falls onto the ground like he had a heart attack. And then the narrator gets up and says, "The lesson here is, if you've missed the real purpose of life, which is the spiritual value of life, and your whole life been working hard just for material purposes, that's the wrong bank account. And at the end of your life, there's nothing. It's all taken from you. So what have you gained? My dear friends, during the course of this wonderful life that you're living, you're all successful and intelligent and beautiful, and but it amounts to the wrong bank account if you don't attend to the needs of the soul and worship Krishna by chanting his holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna." And people would applaud, you know, it's like going into the Broadway theater to hear something that has nothing to do with God consciousness. The wrong bank account. It was good. That was one with the wrong bank account. The Brahmanas in society were never attentive to banking money for future retired life. When they were old invalids, they used to approach the assembly of the kings, and simply by praising the glorious deeds performed by the kings along with their wives, they were well provided for with all necessities of life. But the kings weren't just like, you know, the fallen people of today. They were virtuous kings, and they would describe their acts of virtue. It was worthy of glorification. And their devotion to the Lord was worthy of glorification. Such brahmanas were not, so to speak, flatterers of the kings. But the kings were actually glorified by their actions. And they were sincerely still more encouraged in pious acts by such brahmanas in a dignified way. When honored for virtuous activities, it inspires the virtuous person to do more virtuous activities. The net result was one segment of society would assist the other segment of society to become oriented to God consciousness, and vice versa. So one part of society, the Brahmana part, the Kshatriya part, the Vaishya part, the Shudra part, they all had their part to play in helping one another become moved towards God consciousness. And they all were respecting one another's position because of that central thread. Moving towards God consciousness was the mission of the whole society. And when that thread is missing, big problem. Okay, so any discussion? Krishna's return to Dwarka. Yeah.
Maharaj, we are explaining that different sections of the society, like Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, they all were engaged in receiving the Lord, glorifying Him, and Lord reciprocated appropriately. Here, I mean, What do you understand? Because Brahmanas are very dear to Krishna and Kshatriyas, Vaishyas are also engaged. But what is the different season between Yathagati and appropriately? All are engaged in the devotional service.
So, Prabhupada makes that distinction. There is the appropriate for their position and appropriate for their purity of devotion. Both appropriate in both ways. Am I addressing your question? There's the material and the spiritual. On the material side, appropriate. Within women were appropriate. The women were at a distance and on the rooftops and so forth. Respectfully. That's coming tomorrow morning. The separation of genders. But so they would approach him appropriately and he would reciprocate appropriately for their position. That's material. But they're pure devotees. So appropriate for their the fullness of their devotion, Krishna reciprocated. And they were able to receive because of their purity of devotion. We go the other direction and it's not impersonal. Anything else?
Maharaj, we are saying that the whole society is engaging in culture with that everybody is moving towards God consciousness. So we also, in our little ways, we have some responsibility towards us by bringing in this God consciousness.
We have some responsibility to others to bring them to God consciousness.
But on our part, the very main, it seems for me, inspiring others becomes such a difficult thing.
Such a which kind of thing?
It becomes very difficult.
Difficult thing. Okay.
Because, and since I we for this, I personally we get affected by this. So, our duty means the problem is that should I should work on my own Krishna consciousness and my own practices following material equipment. Is there an extent?
What do you think? It sounds like you've answered your own question. How about yes and no? Yes. According to capacity, you extend yourself. But extend yourself, you must. So that's the no. So according to your capacity, you work on your capacity, but let me ask you this question. It's option A or B. Option A. I know I should be charitable. So when I really become established and actually have some substantial wealth, then I'll begin practicing being charitable. Or option B. I know I should be charitable. And I hardly have any wealth at all. But in principle, I know I should be charitable. So I'll act on the principle of charity and give something in charity, even now. And as I have more, surely I can give more, because I'll have more to give. And so the principle of charity will just be amplified because Krishna has given me more. A or B? Oh, okay. So according to capacity. The primary focus, my capacity is very little. My primary focus is, as you described. So that's the yes. But something should be there. And you may very well need some guidance what that something should be. But something. distribution of prasadam. Something. Something. Sorry? Yes.
Yes.
How is your Tathagati applicable to the modern world? Well, each of us are chanting japa. Every day we're chanting japa. And even each one of us, each day, we get different realizations about our chanting japa. And it has something to do with how we're approaching Krishna in the form of His holy name. That's modern time. Mm-hmm. That's like, you know, every morning. It's real modern. And the other application on the spiritual side, and then on the material side, we have different duties that we perform. And Krishna is not honoring more someone who has, like I gave the example, someone is cleaning the floor and someone is doing the arti. Krishna's, for the sincere cleaner of the floors, the street sweeper, they can be fixed in pure devotion and feel joy. If their consciousness is covered, they'll feel nothing. They'll feel downtrodden, and why do I have this lowly occupation? Maybe I should steal a little bit because I don't have enough for my family. But one who is fixed in pure devotion, like Kolavichar Sridhar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved Kolavichar Sridhar. He went to see him every day. And what was it that he had materially? Nothing. Next to nothing. Almost nothing. Not high learning, not high birth, not great wealth. Nothing to show. But Chaitanya would tease him. They're all your friends. They're worshipping Goddess Durga. See, all their opulence. And you have nothing. Look at your clothing. There's more holes in your clothing than there is clothes. Why don't you give this up and worship Durga? And stop teasing me in this way. I have everything I need. I'm very happy. Why do you say I'm impoverished? I have everything that I require. In fact, you come here and you're asking me for some of the things that I have, and you're asking for without a price. It's all. But I'm perfectly happy. It's a wonderful pastime. Wonderful pastime. And the very day that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated the first public Harinam, the march on Chankazi's house, civil disobedience, thousands, tens of thousands of angry Bengalis were at the door of the Chankazi at night with torches in their hands saying, "Kill the Kazi! Burn the house of the Kazi down!" And talk with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Chankazi becoming exposing that Lord Srinadev came. You know that, either, right? The marks of were of the Lord's nails around his chest. He opened his shirt and showed. So I've understood I should not stop the chanting of the holy name. I decree henceforward in this village, future generations, whoever is ruling following me, shall not stop the chanting of the holy name. At night, that very night, Lord Chaitanya took his kirtan party to the house of Kolavichar Sridhar and had big kirtan in his little thatched cottage filled with holes. So when the rain came, the roof didn't do any good. Little simple place. And he came to get some water from the beaten up, patched, repaired old iron pot of Kolavinchar Shridhar that very night, and drank from the pot that Kolavinchar would use. And Kolavinchar said, you've destroyed me. You've come to liberate all the conditioned souls, but you've come to destroy me. Why are you doing this? Because of my love for you, Shridhar. I simply want the remnants of your prasad. And the only way I can get it is by taking the prasad of your water. He drank again. Yathavidhi. So, spiritually, materially, anyone can approach the Lord in modern time. It's not for previous ages. It's not for future times. It's any time, in any position. And the reciprocation will be according to the position and according to the devotion, as appropriate. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.